talking to a family not too long ago whose kids are in the ag program at their school. If you don't know what that is, it's the agriculture program at the school, and specifically for this family, their involvement was in raising animals, right? Raising different kinds of animals. This family has raised many goats. They've done that with several of their kiddos that have come through. The goats are their thing. And if you've never done that, if you're unfamiliar with it, if your kids have never done that, you probably don't know what all's involved in the process, right? I wasn't involved in it. My kids aren't old enough to be involved in it, so I had no clue everything that it took. And so I asked the family, so what does this mean? What does this look like in your daily life? And they just summed it up like this. We live at the ag barn, right? That's what we do. We wake up. The first thing that we do in the morning is we go to the ag barn and we check on stuff. Before we go to bed every night, what do? We go to the ag barn and we check on stuff. We are constantly doing things throughout the day for these silly goats. And if you think about it, there's a good reason. It's because the goat can't take care of itself, can it? I mean, the goat can't feed itself. The goat can't clean itself. The goat can't clean up after itself, right? The goat needs somebody else taking care of it day in and day out. It's completely dependent on the student, allegedly. Talking to the parents, it was probably 50-50. Half dependent on the student, half dependent on the parents, right? But they were all in this together, right? Taking care of the goat. And it's been that way, if you think about it, for a long time, right? People have cared for animals, taken care of animals, nurtured animals, you know, for as long as we can remember. Think about King David from the Bible. What did he do? King David's the one that was called a man after God's own heart. King David is the one that fought Goliath and defeated him, but King David grew up as a shepherd boy. He grew up out in the fields taking care of sheep. He fed them, he led them, he watered them, he protected them. He did all of the things that you would expect a shepherd to do. And that idea, the reality of taking care of an animal, taking care of a sheep, it was such a common thing in the ancient world that God used that several times throughout the Bible to help us understand a little bit more about our relationship with Him, ultimately with Him. And we see that in Psalm 23. If you've got a Bible today, I want you to open up to the 23rd Psalm right there in the middle of your Bible. And in doing so, as you're opening your Bible, I want you also to open to John chapter 10. We're going to see that Psalm 23 and John chapter 10, that they go hand in hand. And I hope that as we look at this together, we'll see, know, and understand that the Word of God is consistent beginning to end. The promises of God are consistent beginning to end. The fulfillment of a lot of those promises that we see in the 23rd Psalm are fulfilled in Jesus. And we're going to see that as we look at Psalm 23 and John 10 side by side together. And as we prepare to read Psalm 23, just think about the context in which you have heard this psalm throughout the course of your life. Many of you have heard it as a prayer. It's a beautiful prayer to be offered up to the Lord, calling Him our good shepherd. Not only that, maybe you've heard it read at a funeral service. Somebody caught me after the first service and said, hey, we use the 23rd Psalm in my father's funeral. It's great to hear about the promises of that verse and how they applied in that moment, right? So I know that they're not the only one. Many of us have experienced that. Maybe you've read the 23rd Psalm over a family member who was sick or whose body was in this process of just slowly breaking down, and you read that as a place of comfort and promise over them. Whatever the context is in their life, a lot of times we've seen that psalm in somber moments. We've seen that psalm read in those still or those heartbreaking moments. And I'm praying today that we would see this psalm, yes, to be used in those moments, but also as this overwhelming reason to celebrate the goodness of God, to celebrate the provision of God in our lives as the Good Shepherd. So let's read it. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1, God's word says this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look back at verse 1 one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. As believers today, as people that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we read, the Lord is my shepherd, our hearts and minds need to go directly to Jesus. Because when talking about the Good Shepherd in the New Testament, specifically in John chapter 10, you can go ahead and flip over there. When talking about it, Jesus says, hey, that 23rd Psalm, that Good Shepherd promises that you know, that you can recall, that's me. Jesus is pointing to himself. John chapter 10, verse 11, these are the words of Jesus. Hear what he says. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. I'm the Good Shepherd, the one that lays down my life for the sheep. Now, we've been tracing the thread of Jesus throughout the Old Testament these past few weeks, and Jesus makes it very clear as we read this, he's the Good Shepherd. All of the promises that we see in Psalm 23, they're repeated by Jesus in John chapter 10. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at those promises that God's given us and see ultimately how they're fulfilled in Christ. The first promise that we see, if you lump verses 1 through 3 together in Psalm 23, is simply this. The Good Shepherd brings us peace. All right, peace is yours as you follow the Good Shepherd. Look at verse 2. It says, the Good Shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. The Good Shepherd, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Look at the words here. Right, in this psalm, David writes that the Lord, our Good Shepherd, he takes us to great places. Then in verse 2, we see green pastures. Think about that analogy. What does a green pasture mean for a sheep? Well, it means a place of rest. It means a place of safety. It means a place of provision where they can have the food and the nutrients they need. It means that they're in this place now where they can lay down. They can let their guard down. They can know that they're in a safe place, right? He takes us to those green pastures, right? The Good Shepherd brings us rest there. He leads us beside still waters. Think about still waters. Man, the word picture here is refreshment and life. Without that water, that the sheep doesn't have life. And we see here that it's the loving leadership of the shepherd that brings the sheep to the water, that ultimately brings about its nourishment. And as we flip to the New Testament and see the words of Jesus, we know, we understand that Jesus is our Good Shepherd, and he tells us that he brings living water to our souls. He brings refreshment and life to us. Look at verse 3. It says, the Good Shepherd restores our soul. Think about that word restoration. Restoration. In our day-to-day lives, we might not think about our souls actually being restored, but the concept of restoration, that's not an unfamiliar concept to us. We often hear about things that are restored. We see things that have been restored. And I want you to think for a minute, what kind of things are restored? Are new things restored? No. Are perfect things restored? Of course not, right? Restoration comes to things that are worn out. Restoration comes to those that are worn down, to those that are beaten down, to those that are broken down. I mentioned Chip and Joanna Gaines in the first service, and I learned that nobody outside of Baylor people had been to Waco until Chip and Joanna. They turned the whole city of Waco around. But think about them and the restoration that they do. What do? I mean, their whole thing is about restoring old houses, getting into it and making it new. And if you've ever seen that show that they've had on TV, man, Chip would go in there and be all silly and goofy on those demo days. And what would he demo? What would he take out of there? He would take out everything that was broken. He would take out everything that was worn out. He would take out all of the things that didn't work anymore. And their entire process was all about breathing new life into the homes that they restored when restoration was needed. As we read this, we see that the restoration that our shepherd promises here is all about life. It's all about our lives and what we're walking through, what we are going through. Think about, have you ever felt worn out? Have you ever felt worn out mentally? I guess at some point, every one of us, the answer is yes. You ever felt worn out emotionally? Like we're batting 1,000, right? All of us. At some point, yes. You ever felt beaten down by life? Beaten down by circumstances? Beaten down by people? Have you ever had those seasons of life where you just hurt? But from the inside out? All of us have. And this is what God's word says about that passage. God looks at us as our good shepherd, and he says, I've got you. He says, in me, in the good shepherd, you'll find restoration. He says, in me, I can put you back together. He says, I can make you new. He says, I can make you whole. I can fix the hurt that's there inside of you. And we see it in Psalm 23:3. And then Jesus, flip over to John 10, if you've got that marked in your Bible. Look at John 10, verse 9. Jesus reemphasizes that in himself, the good shepherd. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. And he'll go out and find pasture. Look at this and how it works together. It's the presence of Jesus, our good shepherd. It's the presence of Jesus in our life that brings restoration to our souls. It's his presence. It's us being with him. That's how we're restored. That's how we're made new. That is not the job of any other person in our lives, right? There's not a person on earth that could live up to this. There's not a person on earth that could restore you or make you new or make you whole or fix the things that need to be fixed in your heart and your soul. I mean, that is the job of the shepherd. And in John 10, we see that if we hear the voice of Jesus and we go to Jesus, we're going to find that green pasture of rest. We're going to find that green pasture of safety, and it only happens in Jesus. Flip back to Psalm 23. I told you we're going back and forth. Psalm 23 and John 10. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. I want you to look at the next line. What does he do? He leads us in paths of righteousness. We cannot separate those two. Restoration and righteousness go hand in hand. Being led in righteousness, it's tied to the restoration of our souls. Right, think about those paths of righteousness. Where are they in our lives? They're not physical destinations. I put it in Google Maps to confirm. You type in path of righteousness and hit go, there's none around here. There's one in East Dallas, but you don't need to go up there to find it, okay? It's not a physical thing. It's a heart thing. This path of righteousness that we read about in Psalm 23, it simply means living a life that's obedient to the words of the shepherd. It means living a life that's obedient to the words of God, right? That's the path of righteousness. And for some, maybe, if you hear that part of this restoration and part of this righteousness is living out the word of God in your daily life, follow the commands of Scripture, that there's a chance that maybe some in the room sort of, you know, bristled back a little bit. Maybe you think that living out and following the word of God in your life, it's a stressful thing or a hard work thing. Maybe you look at this and you think about it and this sense of like drudgery comes over you. Like, man, I have to do that. How do I do that? That's hard work. That's stressful. Man, just living this out, it's a challenging thing in my life and I don't want to do it. And I'm just telling you this morning that if it's stressful, if it's hard, if that's where your mind goes, it's because you have a wrong view of your shepherd. Right? We've got to understand that following Jesus leads to life. That his commands, that his word, that everything we see here, everything we read here, everything that we experience here, that he gave it to us for our good. He gave it to us for our ultimate joy. Right, his words right here, that they're called nourishment to our souls. So this morning, if your soul, if it's feeling a bit malnourished, I want to encourage you to fill yourself with his word. We see here in Psalm 23 that it's through his presence and it's through his word that he leads us to those green pastures, that he leads us to those still waters, right? Ultimately, to peace. Think back to David as a shepherd in the fields, right? What would happen if a sheep ignored his voice? What would happen if a sheep just ran off and wandered off on their own? I mean, think about that. As a sheep wandered off on their own, immediately they begin to experience stress. They begin to experience danger with no one there to watch over them. They begin to experience a lack of provision, a lack of care, a lack of love of anybody watching over and protecting them. Well, we have a simple word picture here in Psalm 23, and it's very clear. Leaving the presence of the shepherd, it brings nothing good in our lives, right? The sheep that listen to and that stay in the presence of the shepherd, they enjoy the peace of God. the application here is very, very simple for us, right? Let Jesus give you peace. And here's a few tangible ways that can be a reality for you. The first, if we're looking for the peace of God, like we see in verses 2 and 3 right here, the first application is just slow down, right? As a sheep, don't pull away from the shepherd. If you're like a lot of people in our culture today, a lot of people in our world today, there's a lot of people that have expectations of you. There's a lot of obligations that are placed on you. You're being pulled in a lot of different directions, and for many, it means that your life is moving very, very quickly, that you're bouncing from one thing to the next thing with not a lot of time to think or slow down in the middle of that. My family feels that tension. We live in the midst of that tension, and here's what happens to my family when we're not careful, and I think it happens to every single one of us. When we're not careful, when we don't take time to slow down, those important things in our life begin to slowly be pulled back from us. And the same thing happens to each and every one of us. Let's be careful to slow down to ensure that we are walking closely with our good shepherd. Second, for that peace of God, listen to the voice of the shepherd, or listen to the word of God in our lives. Out in that field, with a literal sheep and a literal shepherd, man, the shepherd's yelling and commanding and instructing and teaching and leading the sheep where they need to go, right? That the words of the shepherd, they bring about the green pastures. They bring about the still waters. Listen, we have the words of our good shepherd right here, right? That they're not hidden from us. They're not away from us. We have the words of the good shepherd right here, and listening to and living out the words of our good shepherd in our life, we see that it brings peace to our souls. And then third and finally, as we pursue that peace that's promised here in Psalm 23, I want to encourage you to get in the pasture with other sheep. And here's what I mean. I mean, connect to the church family, right? Connect to other people that love Jesus and that love you, that will help you walk together following the good shepherd, experiencing that peace in our soul, but not just peace. The second point that we see this morning is this. In the good shepherd, we also find protection. Look at Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The valley of the shadow of death. You've heard that phrase before. Many of us have heard that phrase before from this psalm, and we've heard it throughout the course of our entire lives. If we're familiar with Psalm 23, I want to explore the valley of the shadow of death this morning. It could very well mean actual death, with death being referred to here as a shadow. Now, let me ask you a question. Can a shadow hurt you? Not rhetorical. Can a shadow hurt you? No, of course a shadow can't hurt you. So what is this psalm telling us about death itself? To the believer, to the one following the good shepherd, right? We see that death can't hurt us. Death can't hurt those that believe in Jesus. Why not? Because what we know, according to the word of God, we're promised eternal life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what we see this, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ, right? Because of the good shepherd, we have no reason to fear death. Death for the believer, death for the one that is following and that is protected by the good shepherd, death simply means Jesus. Death simply means heaven. Death simply means that place where there are no more tears and sickness is gone and evil is gone and sin is gone, right? Death for us means the presence of Christ. But look at the end of the verse. It says this. It says, "I'll fear no evil. The Lord is with me." So we see the presence of the shepherd in our lives again. And it says, "His rod and his staff." That's the protection of the shepherd. They're with me. They bring comfort to me. Now, there's a lot of scholars that take this apart. And they look at the implications of God's protection, obviously in death, with death being a shadow, and ultimately us being in the presence of Christ. But they also look at the implications here in life. I mean, think about this. In Judah or Israel, where David would have written this psalm, where David would have lived his life out in the field as a shepherd boy. If you've been to Israel, if you've been to that southern part, if you've seen, you know, those valleys and those big rocks and those shadows that are cast there, you'd know that the original readers, they would understand this psalm to mean deep darkness, right? A darkness in these valleys that's so deep you can't really know or see or understand what's in there until you get right on top of it, right? Where David would have found himself with those sheep as he would have pursued lost sheep, as he would have driven his sheep through these places on their way to green pastures, on their way to still waters. David's saying here, man, I'm preparing to walk through darkness not knowing what I'm going to find. He's saying that he would walk through it knowing the chance of danger is always there. The chance of evil is always there. Walking into the shadows was scary back then. It's true today. We might not have the same geographical features as we walk around here, but the truth applies. Walking into the unknown is a scary thing. Walking into the unknown is a suspenseful thing as we await with great anticipation what we're going to find there. Walking into the unknown is sometimes even a dangerous thing. You've walked through those seasons of life where you were nervous, where you were anxious. You've walked through those seasons of life where you felt like you were in danger. That's the analogy here. And David's saying, the Good Shepherd's telling us that as we approach those valleys, we don't need to be afraid because the promise is there. The promise is that in those moments of fear, God is with us. In those moments of the unknown, God is with us. In those moments of danger, God, His presence is protecting us. So when we walk through the shadows or the unknown of this life, whether that shadow is a moment for you or that shadow is a season for you, God's promise is to be with you. When you walk with Him, you can feel confident in the protection of your Good Shepherd. Again, flip back to John chapter 10. Jesus confirms this in His life and in His ministry. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And listen to what He says. He says, "The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep." He is willing to do whatever it takes for the protection of His sheep. He lays down His life. He goes on in verse 12 to say, listen, that the hired hand, the one that's not the shepherd, the one that doesn't really own the sheep, man, he sees the danger coming and he throws everything down and he runs away scared. But not Jesus. That's not true of Him. Jesus says, as our good shepherd, He lays down His life for us. The battle against sin and evil and death, we see here, it was fought and won by Jesus. Jesus carries the rod and the staff so that we don't have to, right? Jesus did everything that He did so that we don't have to, and then He promises to be with us. What does Jesus say in Matthew 28? He says, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." And always includes the shadows, always includes the mountaintops and the valleys and everything in between. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 8? If God's for us, who can be against us, right? What can man do to us, knowing that our good shepherd is walking with us? It's right there in the Word of God. Listen, we can't be naive, right? In this world, we're going to face trials. We're going to face enemies. We're going to face sin. We're going to face evil. We're going to face hardship. We're going to face battles. We're going to face danger. All of that's true. That's the valley of the shadow. We read it right here. But ultimately, eternally, because of Jesus and His protection in our lives, but we can be confident. We can be confident knowing that He has us, that He protects us. And then finally, here's our third promise this morning. We see here that the Good Shepherd promises goodness in our lives. Look at verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Listen, even in the presence of those that would do us harm, God promises provision and God promises goodness. Look at the end of verse 5. My cup overflows. Don't mention the cultural implications of David's statement here. It might be lost on us, right? Living where we live and the culture that we live in. When David says, "My cup overflows," or "You fill my cup to where it overflows," what he's saying is the host is telling David, the good shepherd is telling us that there's nothing that's too good for us. Right, there's nothing that He's holding back from us. It's His way of saying that anything you see or need or want, that it's yours and you're a good shepherd. It's a way of saying, "My house is your house. My casa es su casa," right? Anything you see, think, or need, man, I'm going to give it to you. And then he goes on to say, you anoint my head with oil. It's this over-the-top declaration that God gives us everything that we need for life in him. James chapter 1, verse 17 says that too. Every good and perfect gift is from above. It's from our Heavenly Father. God's heart for you is to give you good and perfect gifts. God's heart for you is to take care of you. God's heart for you is to bring this goodness into your life as you follow his voice, as you walk with the good shepherd. And listen to this, because of his goodness in our lives, look at how we can live. Look at verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy follow us, not for a week, not for a month, not for a season. Goodness and mercy follow us for every day we have on this earth. And then when our time on this earth is done, what does it say? We have a home. We're promised that we will be with him forever in his presence. I want you to think about Psalm 23 now and how it fits into the big picture of the Bible. How the peace-giving presence of God that he's promised that he's made to us, that it's a fulfillment of the promise that he made to Adam and Eve in the presence of the serpent. Back in Genesis chapter 3, we looked at that several weeks ago. Remember? The enemy deceived Adam and Eve. Sin was brought in. That sin led to separation from God. And God promised something different. Right? God promised to do something about it. The opposite of separation. He promised to bring us back into his presence. Like Psalm 23 says, so we could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That promise is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the one that prepares the table. Jesus is the one that fills the cup. Jesus is the one that brings goodness and mercy. And it's only through Jesus that we will do what Psalm 23 says, that we will dwell in the house of God forever. Back to John 10, if your Bible's still going back and forth. John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but not me. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Psalm 23. That shows us the incredible love of the good shepherd in our lives. And then in John chapter 10, Jesus says, that's me. That's why I'm here. That's why I came. That's why I died on the cross. For us, that's why we're here. That's why we gather. That's why we worship. To remember our good shepherd. To remember what he's done for us, to remember that he laid down his life for us so that we could live in relationship with him, right? And when we have that right view of him as the good shepherd, when we understand this and his unconditional love for us, it's easier and easier for us to follow his voice. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to continue to worship him with hearts of thanksgiving for the love that our good shepherd shows us by sharing in the Lord's Supper together. And many of us know this, but the taking of the Lord's Supper, it's this act of remembrance, it's this act of worship and celebration and thanksgiving for all of the promises that we just read about in Psalm 23 and in John chapter 10. And as we share the Lord's Supper this morning, I want you to have fresh on your minds the words of Jesus in John 10. Write these down, highlight them in your Bible, just think about this as we share the Lord's Supper together. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The one that's laid down his life for the sheep. That's what the Lord's Supper reminds us of. As we eat the bread, in just a moment, we're remembering the body of the good shepherd that was laid down and beaten and broken for us so that we could have life. When we drink the cup in just a minute, we're remembering the blood of the good shepherd that was spilled in our place so ours didn't have to be. We talked about Jesus being the ultimate Passover lamb last Sunday morning. I mean, that's what this is. We're remembering that Jesus' blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And ask our deacons to come forward now this morning and prepare to serve the Lord's Supper. And as they come forward, I want you to listen to this verse from 1 Corinthians 11. It says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone that eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So for us, this is our moment now, and we're about to have a worship song sung over us. This is our moment where we can go before the Lord. we can get our hearts right before Him. Any sin that's known in our life, now is our moment to confess that sin before the Father as we share the Lord's Supper, remembering the work of the Good Shepherd in our lives. I'm going to pray for us, and that'll usher you into a time of prayer as well as our deacons pass out the Lord's Supper while our band plays and sings. And just know that as it passes by, just grab one setting there, and the bread and the juice are stacked on top of each other. So just grab one set, and you should have everything you need this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we love You, and we trust You, and we thank You that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, came, that He lived, that He died and took the punishment for sin so that we wouldn't have to. And that as we believe in Him, God, we know and trust, God, that we won't perish, but that we have eternal life. God, You called us to do this, remembering Your work in our lives and for each and every one of us, Father. And God, I pray that as we do this now, it would be an act of worship before You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship You. If it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because You're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with You. Because death is just a doorway to resurrection life. If I join You in Your suffering, I'll join You when You rise. Will You return in glory with all the angels and the saints? My heart will still be singing, my soul will be the same.
The first time that this was done, Jesus was with His disciples. It was right before He's arrested and ultimately goes to the cross. And as He sits down and shares this meal with them, he talks about His body that's going to be broken. He talks about His blood that's going to be shed. And He gives His disciples a command in that moment. He instructs them to continue sharing what was called the Lord's Supper. He instructs them to continue to do so, and in doing so, remembering the sacrifice that He made on the cross. And that ties right in with our Good Shepherd that lays down His life for us. And so that's why we do this, is this act of worship and remembrance, because Jesus told us to continue it as a church family. And that's what we're doing this morning. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this now in remembrance of me.'" Let me pray for us. Father, we're grateful that You sent Jesus to be our Good Shepherd, God, to lay down His life, die in our place, and God, we know it's because of Your love for us, and it's because of the goodness you desire for us to walk in all of the days of our life. And God, right now as we take this bread, we remember the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Amen. Eat the bread together. That passage goes on to say, in the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. God, again, we're so grateful for your love. God, we are grateful for the sacrifice that you made so that we could have life. God, we're grateful that our good shepherd laid down his life for us. God, nobody took it from him. He laid it down for us so that our sins could be forgiven. Father, please don't let us take this for granted. God, help us to remember this as we worship you today. And God, help us to leave here living lives of worship before you as well. God, we drink the cup now with thankful hearts because of your incredible love for us, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Drink the cup together. That passage ends, and it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as we take the Lord's Supper together, it's a statement of faith for us. We're saying we believe that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. We're saying we believe that he laid down his life willingly in our place, that he died on the cross in our place, and that he rose again, ultimately defeating sin and death. And as we share the Lord's Supper, we're saying that we have placed our faith in him and in him alone, our good shepherd who promises us goodness and all we need in this life and for eternity. With that in mind, I feel like the only way that we can end this morning is through a time of worship. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to worship our good shepherd and all that he's done for us. Let's sing together now.
Creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry, then from north to south and east to west we hear Christ be magnified. And were the
go ahead and just be seated with that spirit of prayer that we're in right now, thinking about Christ being magnified in our hearts and our lives this morning, and just join me. Bow your head, close your eyes for a minute. I want to ask you to think about what we read with the Good Shepherd today, and I want to talk to two groups of people. And first, if you're a follower of Jesus, or if you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to think about the promises of the Good Shepherd in your life right now. And God's promised peace to us. He's promised provision. He's promised protection. And we see that so much of that comes as we're listening to the voice of the shepherd, as we're being led by and going where the shepherd has called us to go. And so, this morning, if you're on the mountaintop, or if you feel like you've been walking through the valley of the shadow, or wherever you might find yourself in between, I want to encourage you just right now in this moment, however you want to say it, but just offer up this prayer to God and say, God, help me to clearly hear your voice. God, help me to listen to and be led by the Good Shepherd in my life so I can walk through those green pastures, so I can experience the nourishment of those still waters, so I can find the peace and the protection that comes as I walk with you. Let that be your prayer this morning. Don't just listen to me. Let that be a prayer that you offer up before the Lord, wherever you're at in your journey in life right now. And for those of you, while they're praying that, for those of you that came in here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, maybe you'd say this morning, okay, I've learned more about Jesus today. I learned and I understand now that Jesus laid down his life for me so that I didn't have to, that Jesus took the penalty for my sins so I didn't have to take that penalty. Maybe you see just how much you are loved by God, that he was willing to send Jesus to lay it all down for you. If that's you this morning, please don't leave here without trusting Jesus as your Savior. Jesus tells a story in the New Testament. He teaches in the form of a parable. And he talks about a shepherd with 100 sheep, and 99 are there, and 99 are safe, and 99 are in the pasture, and one has wandered off. He doesn't write off the one. Jesus goes after the one. Jesus loves the one. Jesus pursues the one. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, Jesus is pursuing you. He loves you. He desires for you to be in a relationship with him. Do not leave here today without praying with one of us to trust Jesus as your Savior. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for Jesus, God, our good shepherd, who gives us everything that we need for this life and for eternity. Lord, it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.